This is Twit.
So Google on Wednesday held its Hey G smart home summit. I learned that while watching this keynote that they say Hey G instead of the actual phrase if you're going to title your summit after that trigger word. And Matthew Castanelli and I covered the event live. So definitely check out Twit's coverage of the event as part of the Twit News subscription. But I thought that we could talk about what exactly was announced at the Hey G Smart Home Summit and kind of what can the average person expect to see coming out of Google whenever it comes to working with the Google Assistant and smart home technology. And who better to do that than This Week in Google's own, as well as, of course, podcaster on IoT. It's Stacey Higginbotham. Hello, Stacey.
Hello, Stacey.
Hello. And, you know, hello. Micah, you got to come on This Week in Google more often because we say Hey G all the time there.
Oh, yeah. See?
All about Android as well.
I should have known. It's a thing. See, I didn't know it was a thing.
It took us a long time to learn.
Yeah, because I used to say, hey, boo-boo, but then someone, and I would say it in Yogi's voice, unfortunately, someone emailed and said, hey, boo-boo can still trigger the Google Assistant. So they had that happen to them. So I had to stop saying, hey, boo-boo. So sorry to those of you out there who may have had your Google Assistant activated. So we had this Smart Home Summit. It was a live event paired with on-demand content, and it kind of covered for developers what Google has brought forth in the smart home. And I thought it would be great to get your sort of overall kind of explanation of this event in general before we kind of get into the details. So tell us, what was this Smart Home Summit kind of intended to tell folks?
Okay, sure. It was part of, instead of, there was no Google I/O, and there's usually a smart home component. And so this was designed to break out all those people. And I thought it was horribly efficient. It was just fantastic. 20 minutes of Michelle Turner, and I was like, oh, I know everything I need to know. And the big point here is to get us excited about what's coming. There isn't a lot coming. And then also to help developers figure out how they're going to build for this. So then we actually get the things that they say are coming. So think of this as like Developer Fest with a little bit of stuff for the rest of us to be like, oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt about it. Was like, oh, I'm so excited. Yeah.
So the most exciting thing for people who have Android phones, the next Android 11, when it comes out, you're going to be able to touch the power button on your phone, and you're going to be able to see your smart home stuff. And there it is. You're going to see Jason's smart home stuff.
I got to tell you, I love this feature. It is such a
great
feature.
Isn't it nice?
Yeah, I use it all the time. I have one complaint, though, is that sometimes it's a little slow to load. So like the page will appear and it looks, and it's kind of like working to get the status of all of my controls. And it's like, I just need to turn the light on, you know, and I'm just waiting for it to like refresh. Maybe that'll get ironed out. But I love that feature. It's my favorite feature.
It's like, it's still in beta, man. Come on.
I know.
It reminds me, and Micah, you're probably going to appreciate this. It reminds me of Apple, which has had their HomeKit stuff on the home screen for 2 generations? A long time.
Yes. Yeah. At least 2 generations. Yeah, this feels like that. And that's why I was excited about it, because as a person who uses both of the platforms, this was one feature that I did enjoy having on my iPhone that was not yet on the Android device. And I will say too, and Stacey, you probably got excited about this. One of the points that they seem to drive home a lot at this summit, even during the keynote, was that state reporting was going to be incredibly important for developers. And so, Jason, you'll be happy to know that, because that means that it won't take as long for that page to load, because they're really driving home the point that each of the devices needs to be able to tell the system, hey, I am currently on or I am currently off, and this is the color that I am and this is the brightness that I am. So that way it's not having to go out and look for that information every time. That information will be readily available and it'll keep that screen updated.
And this is super important, and it ties to kind of a big picture thing happening at Google with the smart home, which is when they killed Works with Nest and all the Nest devices were able to talk on their own to different devices, they really caused an additional latency issue because now you had to talk to the hub, then you had to talk to the device the original Nest device was going to talk to. So they needed to, when they broke works with Nest, which they did for security and access reasons, they had to rebuild all this. And they're rebuilding it in a way that's super awesome because they're doing local. So local control of things. Most of the devices they announced are lights. And this is something they actually released the SDK back in April and they announced it like last year. So mm-hmm. we're finally going to be able to see this more often. So yay on that. That's going to be super fast. But also this state awareness, which is important for local, is also important for presence. And Google talked about bringing presence back into the home with not your phone, but with devices that are already in there. So like the PIR monitor on your Nest thermostat will be able to say, hey, no one's moving in the house. Let's turn down. Let's talk to the locks and tell them to turn off. Maybe we'll talk to some lights and turn them on. So that's kind of the big picture of what's happening.
Yeah, that. So I have to say again, as the comparison is drawn, one of the things that I've enjoyed about Apple's HomeKit platform is that it's a local area network communication framework. So everything happens on the local area network. You don't have any delay of having to go up kind of and talking to the cloud or the server and then having that information come back down. And like you said, routed to different hubs and bridges before it gets to the place that it needs to. So that local home SDK really had me pumped. In fact, leading up to it, I had kind of talked about if there's one thing I want to see more about them talking about local connection and communication. And so to see that happen, I quite literally during the thing, I believe I cheered because it was very exciting for me. Now let's talk about kind of the one of the overall arching communication points, I guess, was privacy and security. They seem to really be kind of talking about how they want to make it so that there is a place where developers can sort of link everything and have it all in a console, but also for, if I'm not mistaken, is it also for consumers who have these products to kind of know what devices are using their location or this information and where they can go to sort of make changes to that?
We're going to have to look for more details on that. But yes, the broad picture, the big picture is like, that's what they're talking about. How they do it, we're not 100% sure. And there is going to be things that consumers are like, that will like, things like the OAuth will be, OAuth authentication between devices will be a little bit easier for us. So we shouldn't have to enter passwords as often. Google had been using OAuth, Amazon uses it, but their implementation of it should be a little bit nicer. On the security side, I'm really excited about for certain devices to have more access to data about your home, they're going to have a security audit. And that's, and they're going to have it annually. I think it's annually. And so we're going to have to see people maintain over time their security. And that's going to be great. Google's really following in the footsteps of Apple with local, with more talk about privacy, a lot of more focus on security. And meanwhile, in the smart home, you see Amazon, they're not talking about local. they do talk about privacy, but it's a little bit less. And the other thing is they don't have a phone. So I'm actually really interested to see like Google pushing in this direction, a little bit away from what Amazon's doing. I'm curious to see the response there, both from consumers and developers, but even Amazon, what will they do?
Yeah, that's a good point. What's the, because we I think, you know, both of us are sort of watchers of the IoT space and we see, you know, Apple does a thing in smart home and then, well, typically it's kind of Amazon does a thing in smart home and then Google and Apple try to do similar things. And then one of them does this thing. And so one of those examples is routines, the functionality that kind of, I want to go to bed and you do all of these actions, or it suggests things for you over time based on your activity. And so up to this point, we've seen over time, these companies kind of go in parallel with one another. But yeah, that's an interesting observation that Amazon without a phone kind of doesn't quite have all of the the same functionality or tool set at its disposal. So that's fascinating. One of the other things that was really hit on was they hit on the shed, smart home entertainment devices. What's your take on that as a whole? Because I know shed devices have been something that you could, that the developers could target, but they've added more categories to that and they've added more traits to that to give more control. What's your take on that as a whole, given how much we are at home with our entertainment devices these days?
Sure. And, you know, everybody, I feel like there's this weird bifurcation in the smart home world where there's people like me who are like, ooh, lights, thermostats, cameras. And then there's people who are like, dude, let's talk about my AV system because it is awesome and it needs to be all in, right? And I'm like, oh, yeah. So I think that's important for that crowd, the AV crowd, which is a huge crowd. And it's also, one, we're home more often. So I think we're trying to access device or access content on more devices more often. So I don't know how many TVs you have in your house, but most people, I don't know if they have a TV for every person in their house. So there's usually someone trying to watch something quick, maybe on the kitchen, mm-hmm. on a display, maybe, you know, an iPad's not going to work in this situation. But, you know, there's lots of things that could become castable. And so that's what I think we're seeing here. And as a user, it'll be great because then you can just tell whatever it is, like, hey, G, set up... I'm trying to think of the hot new show. Tiger King was so like a month ago. What's hot now?
Why? Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah.
Hamilton.
Watch
Hamilton.
Whatever's hot on Netflix.
Yeah, Hamilton. Hamilton.
Hamilton. Well, I don't know. Does Disney play? Can I cast to Disney?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
It's so watch confusing. Whatever's popular on Netflix. That's a whole other topic.
See, we're kindred spirits. I can tell because you hit on something that's that is near and dear to my heart, which is the fact that, yeah, I exist in the ooh cameras, ooh lights, ooh thermostats. But there is this portion of the community that is very into the set-top boxes and the audio systems and the speakers and those kinds of things. And the reason why I think that this is important and why it's exciting to me as one of the ooh looky lights people is that there are a lot more people I would feel comfortable to guess that have a smart television than have smart lights in their home. And so 100%. Giving those folks the ability to understand the power of the smart home could make more smart home enthusiasts out of, you know, the average everyday person. So I love that there's going to be that ability to say, hey, G, turn on the show I was watching yesterday, or, you know, rewind 5 minutes and with those new traits that have been added. So this has me pumped for that for sure.
And for everybody who loves their AV system, but it has like 18 remotes and you're like, okay, first you turn on the TV, then you turn on the receiver and then you turn on the, this is great because you can, well, I don't, again, not sure how this is going to work up because I just moved in a week ago and I have not set up my TV and AV system totally yet, but I had a Harmony and the best part about it was actually when people came to my house, they could just be like, hey, G, turn on the television and like everything would go on in the right order. And nobody had to worry about the remotes anymore. So yes. Tiny little thing, but huge value add.
Absolutely. Let's talk about, as I call it, and my co-host Matthew Castanelli rolls his eyes whenever I do, PChoIP, the Project Connected Home over IP. This was kind of
gosh, I've never heard that. Micah, you just hurt my brain.
PChoIP.
PChoIP. No, it's chip.
I love it.
Project chip.
See, but it's got an of in there. Or over IP. Yeah. P, Project Connected Home over IP. People just want to ignore PChoIP. The O. I see that. I like PChoIP. I'm sorry. Anyway,
it's a nested acronym. Do you realize that?
Wait, tell me, what do you mean?
A nested. So there's an acronym within your acronym. It's Internet Protocol. So it's actually connected home over Internet Protocol. So
okay.
In telco, you call that nested acronyms. But I tell you this only because PChoIP broke my brain and I kind of dislike you for that.
Well, so chip or choip, it is very clearly very important to Google. And I just want to note, as a person who had watched the Worldwide Developers Conference, Apple's conference mm-hmm. a little bit earlier this year, they didn't really touch on
they
chip.
They mentioned it.
Oh, so they on stage?
They mentioned it on stage very briefly.
Okay, that must be why, because this was a big point of this Google Hey G Smart Home Summit. I was really happy about, because it got me excited to hear more about it. But tell the listeners about the mention, I guess.
I'm going to give you a huge eye roll because I felt like they didn't say anything. I really wanted them to. We are still basically nothing new is here. They announced this back in December. Apple, Amazon, Samsung, Google, bunch of other companies. And they all were like, we're going to get together. We're going to create a standard for the smart home and it's going to be awesome. and we were all like, yeah. And then crickets. And they did a couple panels in April and they were like, yeah, we're totally going to have something in fall of 2020. The first version of the certification will be out then. Nothing. Apple, they mentioned it on stage at WWDC. Then Google just did this, and they just basically reiterated, hey, before the end of this year, we're going to have something. And everybody's like, they know they're going to have something. Mm-hmm. They said that in December. So what are they going to have? Give us some clarity on like, hey, how are you going to handle device provisioning? Does this actually mean that my smart speakers would be able to, could I trigger other devices with them? Could I have the same smart speaker and have it work with Siri or Google or Madam A? Like, these are questions people have. If you're a developer, you want to know, how do I bring this into my existing platform? Is this going to totally obviate the need for my own app? Am I now just a dumb hardware provider? These are big questions, and they're not answering any of them. And I'm super frustrated.
One of the things that I noticed is that they included the website, and I had gone to the website earlier that day leading up to this event, and it hasn't really changed. I think the only thing that's changed is they've added some more participants linked to the list. It's connectedhomeip.com. So there, it's definitely, you could see easy that it's Chip. I suppose there's not been more news other than the overall thing to say, it's coming, it's happening, it might be here later this year. And now the FAQ says the specification will be available in late 2020. So it's clear, I guess the break that I would give them is that pandemic has happened. And so I'm sure it takes a lot more time.
Always had said fall, so late in 20. I mean, it may have gone by a month or two, but I wouldn't.
The one thing that I guess I'm happy is that the companies are still talking about it at least, and it's not just being shoved away entirely. So we know they're still thinking about it, right? That's good.
And we're not going to know. Think about these companies. Well, with the exception of Google, which sometimes does it, but Apple, they don't show you anything until they're good and ready. Amazon, they create weird stuff all the time and then just spring it on you, right? Google's a little less security focused. Let's be nice and say that way. their phones out, all that stuff. So what you have is these big players who think this is a strategic initiative. You're not going to hear anything until it's baked and done, I think. And that's what's happening. And it's a little bit frustrating.